Hi, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every week, we work hard at giving you the best real ghost stories we can find for free through the podcast. But producing and maintaining the show isn't so free for us.
And that's why we're asking for your support.
If you like the show, please become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person through the button at realghoststoriesonline.com. As an EPP, you'll get an additional bonus exclusive episode of the show to enjoy every weekend. Plus, you'll have access to our exclusive EPP video content and backlog of exclusive EPP bonus episodes as well.
It's only $5 a month for all these extras.
And your support helps to keep our daily free version of the show alive and on the air.
Become an EPP now at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Please and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Today, the mysterious laughter of a child is heard at 3 a.m. by a couple, but are they the only ones who can hear her? A nursing home employee gets a memorable last goodbye from a resident. A group of kids can't help but wonder if their imagination is getting the better of them. But what could possibly explain the ringing in the woods? Adjusting to life with new siblings can be difficult, but are the new family members to blame for all the extra noise? And one listener shares his premonitions and how they saved his life. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello. And of course, I must say, we love doing this show for you every single day. And if you enjoy the show as well and you like it, support it. Become an EPP. It's an extra podcast person. You get the bonus episode of the show every single week. Access to our archive of past EPP episodes and videos. The next EPP episode, it comes out on Saturday. So if you're listening to this on Friday and you're going, I'd like an extra episode for the weekend, if you could sign up today, you will get that email with the brand new EPP episode and all the past ones. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year. It's up to you. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com is where you do it. And that helps keep our show alive. It keeps us undead.
Undead.
Undead, I like that term.
Okay.
So that's that. So please do support the show if you enjoyed. Yeah. Anything exciting and new in your world? Ghost phlegm coming up?
The ghost, oh, that's gross, Tony.
The ghost of a cold trying to emerge and come back?
We don't need to talk about that. Good grief. No, nothing very exciting or new in my office next door.
No?
How about your office here?
I have nothing, but Harper's hearing things.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what she's hearing, but she's always asking me, what's that noise?
Oh.
What's that noise?
I think she hears some of the air purifiers.
You think that's all it is?
I think that's all it is.
Okay. Because it's one of those things where, you know, when she was little, she like pointed things that weren't there. She doesn't do that so much anymore, but we'll be like in a completely silent room and she'll be like, so look at me real inquisitively. What's that noise? What's the noise? And I think she says it because I'm always giving her a reaction to it.
Uh-huh.
So it may just be absolutely nothing and she knows she'll get a response. But it kind of makes me wonder sometimes, like, are you hearing things we're not hearing?
No, I don't think she is.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that.
Okay, we'll go with that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Travis writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny, it's Travis from Tennessee. Just wanted to share one of my many stories that I have. I'll start by saying at the time of this story, my girlfriend and I lived in my father's house. So there was a total of three people who were living in that same house at the same time. Our room was at the opposite side of the house from my father's, and the bathroom is directly across from the hallway from our room. Anyhow, at the time, my girlfriend worked for a local department store, and on truck day, had to go in very, very early in the mornings, around 4 a.m. With this, she got up around 3 a.m. to shower and get ready to go in. I'm sound asleep at the time of the morning as I worked day shift, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. As she gets out of the shower, she opens our bedroom door and wakes me up to ask if I've been rattling the door handle to the bathroom while she was in there. I hadn't, in fact, and I was pissed that she woke me up at the time. Well, no sooner than she had gotten the words out of her mouth, we heard a long, drawn-out giggle that had to have come from a small girl. I sat upright in bed, hearing it way too clearly and close for it to be outside or on TV, which wouldn't make any sense considering we have no small children in our neighborhood and the TV was not on. We went on about our day, she going to work and me back to sleep, not speaking of the experience to anyone at the time. Two nights later, my father, who had been compared to Clint Eastwood with his no bullshit, serious, all the time attitude, comes to me and says, "I heard a little girl outside my bedroom window last night giggling. Did you see anyone?" I just smiled and said, "At least I'm not going crazy." Thanks for reading my story and keeping us para-geeks entertained on a daily basis. I'm an EPP and love the show every week. I encourage all listeners to become an EPP and enjoy the perks. Thanks again and keep up the good work.
Okay, I think even a giggle from a child, if it's ghostly, is still freaky.
I think that's one of the freakiest things you can possibly hear.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I say thanks for being an EPP. That's awesome. We really appreciate that support. And again, it's one of those stories where you hear it, and I'm trying to put myself in their situation and in that mindset of what would I do if that happened to me? I don't think I'd be going back to sleep.
No.
And it's not because I wouldn't want to. I'm sure it'd be like, oh, I'm still tired. I would love to sleep longer. I don't think there's any way I'd be able to sleep. I'd be like going around the outside of the house with a flashlight. I'd be checking crawl spaces. I would be really paranoid hearing that sound, knowing probably full well that it's not human, that there's something else doing it. But I think that would be very troubling.
Yeah, I agree.
I wonder if the ghost girl ever made herself known to them in any other situations. Because it said at the beginning, there's other stories there.
Yeah, so I want to hear those other stories.
Would love to hear that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Hey, guys. Steve again. Wanted to share a few more of my experiences with you. This is just one story, really. But I did have a question, and this really feeds into Tony's humor, I believe. A lot of the ghost stories you hear, you get they were in Victorian attire, or they were in a 1930s military uniform, or a Civil War uniform. My question is, where is the ghost in the parachute pants and the LA gear with the 8-inch high top? Did nobody tie in the 80s, or is the older ghost just kind of bearing down on them? Where'd they go? Where are they at? But I had an experience.
Before we continue on, let's answer that. Because we have gotten some calls where the ghosts are described, and a lot of times it's like children of the 80s. I've heard it where, and it makes me kind of picture that TV show, The Goldbergs, where they're very much in the 1980s
sure.
attire, where it's been described as the spirit looked like it was wearing early 80s or late 70s type garb.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't specifically heard high tops or parachute pants yet. But I think if you're wearing parachute pants or high tops in the 80s, you're probably not going to be a ghost. I think you're probably very much at peace with yourself because at that time, the fact that you were wearing that shows some confidence. And if you passed away, I think you're good. I don't think there's any unresolved business if you were wearing those things.
Well, here's my thought on that. You walk through the mall right now, and we have an 8-year-old. And the thing she wants to get, I swear, look exactly like the stuff I wore when she was 8. Because everything's come back. All the neon colors and some of the styles have come back. So you might be seeing a ghost that you just think is up on the latest trends.
Sure.
Because I've even seen that tall haircut come back.
Like the Arsenio Hall look?
Exactly.
That was really big, like the Boys to Men look in the early 90s. And
I swear, I've seen kids at the mall with that same haircut again.
There is such a cornucopia of looks going on right now that like almost encompass every era. It's not so much like, you know, in the 90s, you could kind of like pinpoint what era was coming back. And my mom went, this is kind of like stuff that we wore in the 60s that's, you know, showing up again.
Right.
And you could kind of define specific eras that were coming back. And you're right. There is a lot of the 80s that are coming back. But then you go to the other section of the store and there's very 60s-esque attire. And then there's very 50s. And then there's very 70s. And it's all kind of there.
Right.
I wouldn't say even like it's only 80s right now because it's all over the place. It's just... everything is so segmented into groups. It's not like everybody's in one group. It's just like, you know, with television, you know, there used to be the three channels. So here's what you get. And this is what everyone's doing now, because you can turn on TV or like this, a podcast. You don't have like 10 radio stations to choose from. You have bazillions and every interest level. You can have all these different groups almost simultaneously coexist, never as big as they all once were,
right,
but in their own like group.
It very much seems like anything goes anymore.
Yeah, you can pick whatever generational look you want to look like.
Now the only exception I have to say to that is the weird couple at the Coliseum flea market that dresses like they're from the 30s. Have
those
you
are
seen
interesting
them?
Folks,
they do that every time. They look like they're buying stuff that mm-hmm. is from their time period.
Are they ghosts?
No, they're not ghosts. Cause
I saw them eating nachos once.
Yeah, so there.
That's the test.
Mm-hmm.
If the ghost eats. Although we've heard stories of ghosts eating things. I don't know.
I don't think they're ghosts.
I just think they really enjoy that fashion.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of neat.
It's different.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Let's continue on with the call here.
I had an experience this time. Was I started dating a girl, and we had been together for about a month. And I went to her house, and her dad was kind of strict about where I slept. He'd say, if you're staying the night, be in the basement. You're going to stay in the basement, period, end of discussion. I don't know if he was feeding me down there to scare me off so that he knew something was down there, which we come to find out, you know, he knew there was something down there. It just made me sleep down there. But, I would sleep on the couch. They had a nice setup. It was like a living room down there. It wasn't a finished basement, but they had like a throw rug and a couch, and it was comfortable. So I was laying there one night, and like you have to do on a couch, my arm kind of just dangling over the side. I felt a tug on my arm, and I opened my eyes and didn't see anything and didn't think anything else of it. And then finally, I was in a very deep sleep. Because the basement stayed cool, and I sleep well in the cold, so I was in a very comfortable, very deep sleep, and I just kind of heard a whispered hey Steve, and I woke up, and it said my name absolutely 100%. I woke up, and again there was nothing there. I heard ruffling in the back, and at first I didn't want to like say anything, because I'm not one of those people that get scared. It doesn't really bother me. I'll usually talk to the ghost, but considering I was trying to date this girl, I didn't want her family to hear me whispering to myself in the basement. So I didn't say anything for a while, and eventually I did. And I said, hey, listen, you know, I'm Steve. If you want to talk to me, that's fine. You know, you're not going to scare me if that's what you're trying to do. And he did. He continued to mess with me a little bit, and he finally showed himself to me. And I see him, and he was in these nice, well, we called them birth control glasses in the Army. They, you know, because if you're wearing them, nobody's going to mess with you. But they're just thick, the rose color 1980s grandma glasses. But there was a man in a high top, heavy set with those glasses on. And I just kind of nodded to him, and he was gone, and that was that. I went upstairs and was talking to him later on, and that ended up being his dad. That they claimed that there was a dark essence there, and they held a seance to bring their dad in to protect them, and that's who was there. And I guess that's the truth. I don't know if he could just be protecting them. I don't know how much of that seance brought him in, or if they just got creeped out by him with the dark, you know, the dark presence in the house. But that same house, there was also an older woman, and I seen her. And the only reason I knew it was her, as I said, is she was sitting in a wheelchair looking out the window, and they said, yeah, she was in a wheelchair the last 5 years of her life. So that's just another creepy little story for you. And I have seen a ghost with some 80s attire on. It happened to be my father-in-law's dad, so my grandfather-in-law. So, you know, I would like to hear if there's any other ghosts that they see from the 80s that, you know, have 80s style attire, or seven, even bell bottoms or something of that nature, just to kind of see if ghosts are being overpowered, like the newer ghosts are not quite as able to do what a ghost from 1920 can do. So either way, love the show, guys. I actually paid for my EPP about an hour ago, so I'd be happy to check those out when I get to work tomorrow. I'm going to download them tonight and have them for me at work tomorrow, and like I said, love the show, and I'll be listening. Thanks.
Well, thanks for becoming an EPP and helping support the show. We really do appreciate that, and thank you for the stories. Be interesting to hear what perspires out of this as far as ghosts from the 80s or 70s and their attire. The whole clothing on ghosts has always amused me to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like... It's clothing. It's a physical object. Why are ghosts not naked? That's what I've always wondered.
I would imagine because they, you know, they wore clothing all through their life. So sure. They're going to wear it in death, too.
So I think then, that being the case, that kind of answers the question more about objects, too, and how they can be affected by paranormal things or by the energy, where they can actually be affected. If we're seeing ghost clothing on ghosts, then I suppose anything can really come back, right? I mean, if a sweater or bell bottoms can show up on a ghost as a ghost object, then I guess a train could show up as a ghost as well. If there's enough energy there.
I think it has more to do with like the affection of the ghost towards that particular object. Okay. And what I mean by that is like a grandpa ghost coming back in his favorite sweater that he would mm-hmm. wear that all the grandkids thought was hideous, but it was grandpa's sweater.
Sure.
Because he loved it.
What if you loved the train? What if you were a conductor?
I have no idea how much energy that would take to bring a train back with you everywhere you go.
That'd be interesting.
It probably doesn't take as much to wear your favorite sure. pair of sneakers.
A little bit different.
Yeah. But I think that's, at least that's my guess. That's my sure. wild guess.
Sure. It's interesting. Nancy writes in, the story I want to share with you happens years ago when I worked in a nursing home. I was a laundry aide there, and one night I had a dream about one of the residents that lived there. She was bedridden, couldn't talk, and had to be tube-fed. And she was missing the lower half of both her legs. In the dream, I was bringing her clothes back to her. At first, she was like I've always seen her. Then magically, she sat up in bed. She grew legs and was dressed in old-time clothes. They looked like clothes from the late 40s era that included a dress, hat, and shoes. There was also a suitcase on the floor next to her feet. I just remember feeling so happy for her. And she sat there smiling at me, walking up. I didn't think much of the dream and just got ready for work. Later on, while I was at work, a nurse came back to tell us that a resident on our laundry list had passed away. After hearing which resident it was, I then remembered the dream that I had and felt strange. I told Mom and my mom and grandmother. My grandmother said it sounded like I had a prophecy dream, and the suitcase probably symbolized that she had her things packed and was going home. I hope you'll share my story. Thanks for your show, Nancy.
Okay, was it a prophecy dream, or did the lady come visit her right after she died in her dream?
Timing's pretty close, isn't it?
It is.
I don't know. I could see it being either or, honestly. And even, you know, sometimes, like I said before, if you're about to go, and maybe you already have gone, you know, mentally, you're just kind of the shell there, and your body is slowly going away. I think that's a time, too, where some of that activity can occur. You know, if you're passing, your body may still be physically alive, but you may have already left your spirit or whatever. And if you're starting to message people, for lack of a better term,
sure,
you know, you may be doing it already when you're still breathing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Very interesting. 855-853-4802 is our number. John is writing in. Says, my story isn't all that ghostly, but rather weird. And will make any logical person think, as I have yet to find anyone who can give a solid explanation for all of the criteria involving the story I'm about to tell. When I was younger, I and a group of friends used to hang out at this creek a few miles from my house. We always rode bikes and four-wheelers around the creek area. Unknown to me at the time, a few of my friends had some experiences there involving a phone. One day, I and my friends, about six of us all together, walked down there to go swim in this mini waterfall. About halfway up to the spot, I heard a telephone ring behind me. So I turned around and saw no one. A few seconds later, I heard it again. I again turned around and no one was there. I started to suspect someone was playing a trick on me. However, at the time this happened, cell phones were not that big of a deal, and I was the only one out of all of us that had one in case of emergencies. After a few minutes, I heard it again, and one of my friends asked, "Hey, you guys, hear that phone?" I was amazed someone else had heard it, because nobody reacted like I did. My other friends explained then that the phone had been heard by all of them on multiple occasions, and by other people who were not present at the time, and that it also changed distances and directions. We then heard it to our right, but further away. My friend TJ said it will follow you. When you try to chase it and catch it, it will switch directions on you. To this day, we have no idea what it is or was, but I know it wasn't someone pranking us. At the time, the Razor cell phone hadn't become popular, and no houses were in range for miles. And I was the only one with a cell phone, and I cannot account for the multiple directions you hear it from and the distances. Furthermore, we've learned only kids can hear it. I'm much older now, visit my parents' home, and often walk the creek area for exercise, but I've not heard it since. But that is my story. I have two more I'd like to share sometime. Keep up the good work.
Definitely share the other stories. As far as this one, that's very interesting. I have no idea.
Remember the Razor phone?
I do.
That was like the big deal in that because it was so thin.
Sure.
It was a flip phone, but it was really thin because at the time, I think a lot of them were like kind of the Nokia, you know, small bricks.
Yeah, you know. I had one of those. Yeah. Mine was dolphin colored.
Sure. You could get the different face plates and stuff. What I'd like to know, was it a ring? Maybe I just missed this in the story. Was it a ring or was it the distinct vibration sound?
It was a telephone ring.
Okay. So, and those were distinct at that time.
Yeah.
You had about two or three options depending on your phone as to what your ring would sound like.
Right.
Depending on your phone. So there really is no mistaking it. I'm just trying to put this into perspective of the time period.
Sure.
And too, for our listeners who may have been too young at the time of the Razor to remember or understand just what cell phones sounded like. It wasn't today where you have 5 bazillion options for ringtones. So it would have been a very distinct sound. You would know what that sound was. There wasn't anything else that sounded like a cell phone at that time.
No, there wasn't.
Whereas today, you can make it sound like a cat.
You can make it sound like an old-timey phone.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. The only thing that can come to my mind is some sort of frequency thing.
Okay.
Where the, you know, kids were picking up the frequency of something. I mean, cell phone rings are not transmitted through towers. They're on your phone physically, so it's not like that sound's going to be going through the airwaves. That's the only thing I can think of, though. I mean, it's a very electronic sound.
Well, it's very interesting because he said if you tried to go after it and locate it, it would move on you. It would change what direction it was coming from.
Sure. And if you have different towers emitting different signals, but for whatever reason these kids are picking this up, I don't know. Here's my totally out there bizarre theory.
Okay.
All the kids in the same area going to the same dental practice have the same sort of fillings. Whatever sort of thing that's being used on these fillings, whatever metal, is the same. And for whatever reason, it's magnetically charged and it's picking up these specific frequencies in this specific area. that's my totally everything has to fall into place for this to work out perfectly explanation. I think the more logical explanation is it is something completely paranormal.
That's pretty funny. The more logical explanation is explanation.
It is
paranormal.
Because there's so many things. Because I've heard people picking up radio frequencies on their fillings. And I think that would be horrible because you can't get that stuff to go away. And for whatever reason, some people pick it up, some people don't.
Talk about a song in your head.
Literally, yeah. So that's, if we're going to take ghosts out of the situation, that's my guess.
Okay.
I'm going to more lean towards ghosts.
Yeah.
I think that's more logical here.
I got nothing logical. I mean, what you said does potentially make sense if everything aligned just right, but
potentially.
I got nothing else.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is a phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us, and we would love to hear it. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. I just had a really weird experience. I'm on my lunch break right now. I work overnight, so I work 6 p.m. to 4:30 a.m. And something just happened that was really weird. Sorry, I'm kind of tired. I can't really talk. I was at McDonald's, and the McDonald's that I usually go to is right off the interstate, and it's a major interstate that's connected through Missouri and Kansas and Iowa, stuff like that. And I was getting my food, and I was waiting for my drink, and I look over, and to the right is a truck stop that is 24 hours, and this truck stop holds like truckers overnight, leave you can park and sleep and everything. And it also has a gas station. And the gas station's probably about 50 feet away from the McDonald's that I was at in the drive-thru. And I look over and I see this lady checking her tires, like kind of like someone would do if it was flat. She wasn't at a gas pump. She was just pulled right up next to one. And she kind of had like a Honda CR-V blue color. And, you know, she was right under the light, so I could see her perfectly clear as day. And so I got my drink, and I was watching this a little bit, and she looked like she needed help. And there was obviously no one around because everyone was inside. You know, there wasn't very many workers at the truck stop because it's 2:30 in the morning. So the way to get into this place, like, it's connected by parking lot, but you have to go into different entrance to get gas. So I pull out of McDonald's. I had to go across the street and then back in to the right to the gas station, and when I pulled in to where she was at, she was completely gone. And I mean, the only way out is the way that I came in. So if I wouldn't have seen her, you know, if I would have seen her, sorry, if I came in that way. So, you know, I thought that was pretty weird, and I was going to go in and ask and see if there was a lady that came in for help, but the people aren't very nice there, especially in the middle of the night. I mean, I can understand why, it's probably grouchy and tired, but I thought that was weird. That's the first time that's happened, and I go to McDonald's probably like once every 2 weeks or something. So that's the first time I've seen it. I've been going to that McDonald's for about 6 to 7 months now. So just wanted to share it with you guys. I can't explain it. So hope it makes it on the show. Love you guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I don't know. I think sometimes things change our position or move us for a reason. We may not really ever know about it. Sometimes we connect those dots as to the object that moved us, whether it be, you know, it's kind of going back to the everything happens for a reason thing. You know, sometimes I think in most cases it's just physical, normal things that are influencing us to go here or go there and do our thing. Sometimes I think it may take something other than just normal influence to do it. And that's where maybe sometimes supernatural things come into play. And it may be something as simple as you should have left that parking lot and something wanted you to leave that parking lot. So something was there projected to you that intrigued you to make you leave. You may never know why you should have left that parking lot.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I got.
Okay.
Anything?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's my theory.
I don't.
Because it's pretty... You know, if she drove, you know, through the one way where she would have had to have seen this person leave.
Sure.
And she's gone. What happened to her?
I don't know.
You know? I don't know. I think that could be the case there. Leslie writes in, my name is Leslie from Connecticut. When I was 16, we moved to a house in Connecticut in July. My dad had married a woman who had two teen girls. As soon as we moved in, I started feeling kind of weird in that house. There are some stories from that. No, these are some stories from that time. Once in the winter, after I came home from school, I went to the basement to watch TV to wait for my stepsister to come home. When all of a sudden, I heard someone walking on the kitchen floor, walking really loudly and closing cabinet doors really hard. I thought it was one of my stepsisters because my dad had already told her not to do that a few times. Then I heard the cabinet doors being closed harder. I went up the stairs fast, telling my stepsister to stop doing that. When I got to the kitchen, there was nobody there. I looked in the rooms and nobody was home. When I went to the living room, my stepsisters opened the door and they had just arrived home. I asked if they were there before, and they said they had just gotten home. By their snow prints, they were saying the truth. I told them I thought they were here at home and told them what I heard. They looked at each other and then at me and said, "Oh, so you heard it too." We sat down and started comparing stories. Another time, when I was in the basement while I was napping, I kept feeling that someone was standing next to me. I dreaded opening my eyes, but I felt it was a man next to me. I just kept my eyes closed, stood up, and went upstairs fast. A lot of times when I was in my room, I kept hearing a guy's voice whispering my name. Usually, it would happen when I was about to be late for school. The voice was not my dad's. I never answered to that voice. I was told not to ever answer when someone, a ghost or spirit, calls you. Can you, by any chance, say if it's true or not, or why one should answer them? To answer that question, I think it's because you're giving it recognition. And the reason you've been told no to that is because essentially fear that it's something that is not necessarily good.
But if it's already wreaking havoc, a first line of defense would be to ask it to stop.
Yeah.
So that's the difference there, those two different thoughts.
It's really kind of what you subscribe to and what you believe. If you think everything that's ghostly is negative, then you wouldn't want to reply to it. If you think there's a mixture of things out there, I would say, you know, hey, please stop calling my name. But that's you know, up to you. Continuing on, one day, while I was doing the dishes in the kitchen, my stepmom was looking for my stepsister. I told her I didn't know if she was the one taking a shower or if she was downstairs in the basement. My stepmom returned to her room. I thought she looked kind of pissed. I kept washing, and then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a girl with long black hair and a white gown go from the hallway into the living room. My stepsister has black long hair, too. I went after her to tell her she was probably in trouble with her mom. Nobody was in the living room. The living room also connects to the kitchen, and so I kept walking and still didn't see anyone. I walked to my stepsister's room, and she was sitting on the bed with her mom. Indeed, she was the one in the shower, and had a towel on her head. Her hair was not down. I looked at them, not saying a word. My stepmom looked at me and said, "You saw her, didn't you?" I just nodded. My stepsisters told me that they had seen the girl several times. She had come into their bedroom, the man who would stand in their doorway, but never just go in, just look inside the room. He would also walk around the house. My stepmom has a friend who sees paranormal activities, and she came home one day. I did not know who she was or what she did, and I said hi to her and went to sit at the sofa next to the big window. All of a sudden, I moved from that sofa to a sofa near her. She asked me why I moved, and I said that I didn't want to sit there anymore. She said, "No, the lady didn't like you sitting there because that's her spot, so she made you move." I asked, "What?" She said again that there were ghosts in the house, a young girl, a man, and an old lady. The old lady would walk around the house as well, but mostly stand in the hallway looking into the living room. My older brother, who does not believe in ghosts, once stayed home and slept in the living room. He said he saw the girl walking about, but he really refused to tell us what else he saw or how she looked. I'll try to ask him next time I see him. I've never felt threatened or super afraid of the ghosts at my dad's house. I thought I would, but if I ever saw a ghost, but nothing. In any case, the same year in wintertime, my dad kept getting mad at us because somehow the thermostat would go up to the hundreds at night or whenever we would were out at school or work. The house felt like an oven. He kept telling us to not move the thermostat. All of us told him that we didn't do it. He didn't believe us, and this kept going on for a week or more. Once I saw on TV about ghosts and how if you they don't like you, they'll make the room you are in super cold. And I thought to myself, so what if they do like you? They make it warm? So I gave this information to my dad and stepmom and decided to talk to the ghosts in the house. I went into the living room, as silly as it sounds, and introduced myself, acknowledged that we were in their house and that we were not there to make any problems, and that we think that they probably like us, so that they were making the house warm for us. I thanked them, but told them that it was too warm for us, and to please just leave the thermostat how we set it. I told them this in English and Spanish, just in case. What do you know? The next day, after all days of that, we never had the problem with the thermostat going super high in our house again. Now, after years, I don't feel them. I haven't asked my stepmom if she has seen any of them lately, but she seems that we got used to them. But it seems that we got used to them, or that they no longer need to make their peace, their presence known. I have many stories about myself, my family in South America, and my trip to the Netherlands. We'll write those into you again very soon.
See, sometimes that does work.
It does.
Leave the thermostat alone.
And they sometimes listen. I don't know if making the room warm means they like you, or if it could just be another, I'm going to make them miserable.
I can mess with them this way?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could go either way. I don't think the hot or the cold necessarily have like a significance of like hot's hell and cold is good, or vice versa.
Okay.
I think it's just, we're going to screw with you and let you know that we are here. You know, just trying to communicate their existence. That's my theory on that.
Could I agree. I think so.
855-853-4802. That's our number. Alan writes in, I have two stories. One of a premonition and one is a more traditional ghost story. When I was in university, there was a period of time when I had vivid predictive dreams. Usually they were small scenes, similar to the feeling of deja vu, but different in that I could remember when I had actually dreamt it. During a particular week, they became more frequent and detailed. They started off with trivial types of things, like what the professor would have for presentation slides that day and what the special would be in the cafeteria. They kept progressing and culminated over a two-day period. I had woken after having one of these vivid dreams with details of meeting a new person at a restaurant that I did not frequent. Sure enough, the next day, a friend suggested that we meet up with someone they knew at that very restaurant. I had dreamt about it. Not only that, but I knew the conversation that we were going to have and actually kind of freaked the guy out when he started describing his new truck, and I finished the details right down to the red leather trim that he had custom installed. That night, I had another dream. Only this one was much darker. My friends and I were at a bar that we frequented, and there was a scuffle over a few tables over. A gun went off, and time slowed to something out of a Matrix movie. I saw the bullet traveling towards me, spinning, spinning, spinning. I tried to move out of the way, but to no avail. The hot metal struck the right side of my abdomen. The burning sensation is nothing I can accurately describe into words. I felt it go through my skin, into my liver, and exit my back. I awoke in sheets drenched with cold sweat. I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. I skipped my class that day, still shaken from my dream, and worried that it was another premonition. A few of my friends wanted to go out the following evening, which was a Friday night, but I convinced them to stay in. While having a couple of beers, I told them about my dream and why I wanted to stay home. They gave me a pretty good ribbing and bugged me quite a bit. I was able to get some sleep that night, but was still concerned about what the dream meant. The next day, I continued to stay home, refusing to even go out for groceries, and of course, that night stayed home alone as my friends went out on the town. At about 1 a.m., my roommate returned, fairly pale and almost speechless. After some prying, he said, "You were right." I looked at him confused. He then told me of how there had been a shooting at the bar, and I just missed the chair that I probably would have been sitting in. I was stunned and unexpectedly relieved. After that, the dream stopped for quite a while. I still get small ones from time to time, but nothing on the scale of that week years ago. Now for the second, more spooky type of story, my wife and I moved into our house a couple of years ago. We don't know of any dark history associated with the property, but once in a while, weird things will happen. Floors creaking, sounding like someone walking on them. Lights being on when I could have sworn I turned them off. I usually dismiss these, as I tend to lean towards the conventional explanations instead of automatically blaming it on the paranormal. However, one night was very peculiar. In the middle of the night, my wife awoke to what she thought was our 8-month-old son crying. She looked at the baby monitor, which also has a video feed, but he was sound asleep. To double check, I went into his room and ensured everything was okay. About a half an hour later, she looked at the display again as she was just drifting off to sleep. She sat up quickly, startling me awake. She thought she had seen a shadow go across the screen of the monitor. Needless to say, my adrenaline went up from 0 to 100 in a nanosecond, got up and practically sprinted down the hall to my son's room. Nothing. He was sleeping peacefully, still vibrating from the suddenness of waking up to that. I did a sweep of all the rooms, finding nothing. I then dutifully checked the doors, windows, and alarm system to ensure everything was locked up tight. After some time, my wife and I were able to fall back asleep. A couple of hours later, at 4:45 a.m., my son started crying, so my wife got up and went to nurse him. About 15 minutes later, I heard screaming out of my son's room. "What in the hell is that?" I get up again, startled, run out into the hall to see what's happening. I hear a weird sound, almost like a whirr, whirr, whirr. My wife can barely contain her panic at this point. I look around to find the automatic sprinkler timer I had taken off the tap earlier that day on the counter. I looked at the clock, 5 a.m., and it kicked on as I had forgotten to take the batteries out. Needless to say, we had a good chuckle over that, although neither of us could get back to sleep. While we still don't know if the sounds in the shadow were just a tired mom's overactive brain or something else, it has made for a good story. Since that time, nothing else has really happened other than the regular floor creaking, but I chalk that up to expanding and contracting hardwood floors. If anything else does happen, I'll be sure to let you guys know. Keep up the good work, Alan.
So I think the second half may have been more just a tired couple of parents.
Sure.
But the premonition of being shot, I think that was very paranormal.
Yeah, very clearly. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, things happen for a reason, I think. And sometimes you have dreams like that for a reason. The troubling thing is, if you always dream fairly vividly, how do you know when it's a premonition, and how do you know when it's, you know, like a warning or just your mind?
I don't know. I really don't know. And I think I would probably find myself being a hermit if I had any dreams that came true like that.
Yeah, I think I would too. I would be very, very more of an anxious person than I already am. You know, if you were constantly being plagued with things like that. And it's a plague and a blessing in some cases. Like there probably, you know, could have saved her life. In other cases, if it's, you know, if nothing would have happened, you know, how do you ever identify what should you do and what should you not do?
Right.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, tell a friend about it. Share the link on Facebook or Twitter. Putting that link out there and sharing our episodes really does help our show stay alive and grow. So be sure to do that and help us continue to grow the show. So another caller at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Good morning, Tony and Jenny. Once again, this is Lynn from Central Ohio. As you can tell, I have several little stories that have happened throughout the years that I would like to share with you. And yet, here's another morning with some stories to share with you yet again. Well, my first story takes place about almost 20 years ago. My grandmother, which would be my son's great-grandmother, passed away. She was about 82, 83. She had gone to the hospital, not feeling well, kind of the typical things that happened to the older generation, you know, when they go and they don't feel well and they have a little bit of fluid on their heart, stuff. So they kept her at the hospital and drained the fluid, and she was doing much better, and they put her in a step-down unit, and she called stating that she didn't feel very well, and so we had said that we would come see her that evening, and unfortunately she passed away before we could get there. Even the hospital staff didn't expect her to pass away. She hadn't shown any signs that they see where they'll see people that are starting to shut down. So it was very unexpected that way, but, it was natural causes, and her age came into play. Now, my grandmother was still living alone, still taking care of everything, still did her day-to-day tasks, still went grocery shopping and all that good stuff. But I was her driver. That was the only thing she had given up, was driving. So I would normally take her grocery shopping, her hair appointments and things like that, and I was, at that point in time, just recently divorced. And I had my two sons, and at that point in time, 20 years ago, 3.5 and 5. So, when she passed away. So anyways, the one thing my grandmother used to do all the time whenever we would run her on errands was if my sons were fighting and arguing in the back seat, she would tell them very, very firmly, "Gentlemen, it is time to take a nap." And typically they listened very well to her. I kind of like that. So we go for her showings, and everything goes fine, smooth, meeting with family we hadn't seen in years. So then the next day is her funeral. And I have been a little concerned with taking my sons to her funeral, not my oldest son, because he was very easy to deal with. But my youngest son has ADHD, and a 3.5-year-old with ADHD at a funeral is not something any mother really wants to tackle. But we did. And we separated the boys so they couldn't be near each other. So I had one of my brothers on one side of me with my oldest son in between us, and the other brother and his wife on the other side of me with my youngest son in between myself and my other brother. And then they also had custody of her younger sister that was also ADHD. So we had these kids staggered all in between us. It kind of looks funny from the front. But Jeremy, my youngest, he was a little bit wound up going into the funeral. And I kept trying to tell him, you got to calm down. This is Grandma's funeral, and she'll want you to be settled for it, and so on and so forth, just trying to get the children through the funeral. And the minister gets up to give the sermon, and all of a sudden, we hear snoring. And everybody just stops and looks, and here's my youngest son just passed out asleep, snoring his head off. So we ended up carrying him out of the funeral and letting him sleep out in another room outside of the funeral, just staying out there with him. But it was so funny because we all looked over at each other, and we just kind of did a look up to heaven and said, "Oh, thank you, Grandmother." It was as if we could all hear her say, "Gentlemen, it's time to take a nap." So that was my funny story for this morning that I'd like to share with you. I do have one other story that I would like to share with you as well. And again, this is involving the same son, my youngest son. And this is just to kind of share with your emotions and your mindset that can be just tied like ESP into a child. In 2009, my youngest son graduated high school. 2009, in July of 2009, he went into the Army. In 2010, summer of 2010, he deployed to Afghanistan. Not every mother's nightmare again. And he went over there, and the first few months he was over there, it was tough for him, but he was doing okay. So come around Christmas time of 2010, I play violin. So I was playing for a senior citizen dinner, Christmas dinner program. And my mother was accompanying me on violin, so we were there playing the program. And all of a sudden, I just hit a batch of notes that were horrible, and I just took this horrific pain in my gut. And tears were rolling, the pain was horrible to me, and I just couldn't see. I couldn't see the music, I couldn't see anything. And Mom ended up having to kind of played an improvised section to the music, and I just kind of had to regroup myself a moment there and finish the song and then politely excuse myself and go to the restroom. Pain started to subside shortly thereafter, but I just had this heavy sinking feeling that something was drastically wrong. and I called my oldest son to make sure he was okay, which he was. We called my brothers to make sure they were okay, which they were. Only one I could not call was my youngest son. And I kept telling my mother, something's happened to Jeremy. Something has happened to Jeremy. It was the most longest, excruciating 48 hours I had to wait for a phone call. But every mother's nightmare again, phone call from Red Cross, that my son had been attacked in a Taliban suicide mission where he was on a desert patrol for 24 hours. And then out in the desert, they have these checkpoints that these soldiers can go in and sleep at with the military police protecting them from danger. And that was what my son was doing. He was asleep when a member of the Taliban on a suicide mission blew through the military checkpoint, running over my son, crushing his legs. And it was just horrific. I mean, it was just, his legs were crushed and he had to be medevaced out of there. It was just a horrible thing, but the same precise time that happened to him, we were able to determine that that was the same precise time for when I got hit with my gut-wrenching pain and agony and tears and couldn't see anything. It just, the only thing that we figured is he must have yelled for me at the time of his injuries. And the horrible feeling is you can't be there to help them. Fortunately, he's doing great today. He did get a medical discharge as a result of his injuries. But we have him back, and he has his legs, and he has a beautiful family now. So that's just wonderful to us. So thank you, and those are the stories that I'll share with you for today. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
There's really, it's hard to be a connection between a mother and their child. Mm-hmm. I mean, fathers can feel that too, but so often that mother is always in tune. And I think it has to go back to when, you know, you carried them, you know,
sure,
and they were inside you. I think to some degree that connection is never broken.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree too. And it's a primal thing too, you know, to where, you know, your child's out gathering berries in the woods and a bear's coming by. There's no cell phones at some point in time. And the mother needs to know about what's going on. I think it goes way, 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 way back.
Instinctual.
Where it was developed, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then it carries on. And in some cases, it's stronger than others for whatever reason. But yeah, it's definitely there. And it does. It has no real physical bounds as far as distance or anything goes.
No.
So, very interesting stories. Thank you, Lynn, for calling in and sharing those with us. If you have a real ghost story you'd like to share, give us a call at 855-853-4802. That is a number to call in and share your stories 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And hey, by the way, it's almost the weekend, and that's when our EPP bonus episodes go out. If you want in on the email for this weekend, you got to get signed up before they go out for the weekend, which is tomorrow morning. If you're listening to this on Friday, you just go to the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, extra podcast person, and you will be on that list and you will get the bonus episodes. It's only $5 a month. You get, of course, this week's episode and all of the past ones. So you could really binge listen to some good ghost stories.
Yeah.
This weekend, if you're not an EPP yet, because there's a huge archive of them right there. They could be like literally all day. Just
or
sit
if
there.
You're snowed in Buffalo.
Yeah, if you're snowed in Buffalo and you have power and, you know, eating is not on your radar of things you need to get done or surviving, ghost stories.
There you go.
Which, you know, I can't imagine being in Buffalo with all that right now.
No.
70-some inches was the last total, you know, depending on where you're at, 70 to 80 inches.
And there's supposed to be more coming.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess Christmassy ghost stories, if you will.
Speaking of that, if I could ask our listeners, I'm working on a project for the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the Lawson murders that happened on Christmas Day in North Carolina, I believe in 1929.
Okay.
Anybody that has any stories relating to paranormal activity that they've experienced, there's also a bridge related to that story where mm-hmm. they use part of the house to make a bridge.
Okay.
I'd love for them to email me, Jenny@realghoststoriesonline.com.
J-E-N-N-Y.
J-E-N-N-Y.
Okay. We have to specify.
I I know.
I always do that too with Tony, T-O-N-Y.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how people will variate names sometimes.
Or if anybody lives in that area and has any tidbits on, yeah, on that.
Or maybe you're a relative. Maybe there's like, you know, next to next to next to next of kin that's
right
around. All right. That's I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That'll be a creepy Christmas celebration.
That's what I'm working on.
Can we have eggnog and Christmas cookies? Well,
I'll have cookies and you can have eggnog. I don't like eggnog.
I'm not a big fan either.
No.
I don't mind eggnog ice cream when I tried that, but
That's okay.
Actual eggnog. It's, yeah. All right. There you go. That wraps up the show for today. Like I said, please become an EPP. Keep the show alive. Support the show and get that episode for the weekend. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. All right. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.